Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. Rob Brenton also producing this thing, taking you up until 6 o'clock. Let me give you an itinerary of today's show. Coming up in just a bit, we'll head to Kauffman Stadium. We will have a press conference with the owner of the Royals, John Sherman, also J.J. Piccolo. Those two individuals will have a press conference. They are firing everybody up there at Kauffman Stadium. As you know, a couple of weeks ago, they fired Dayton Moore, and they just let the plane land before they fired Mike Matheny and pitching coach Kyle Eldridge. So we will head to Kauffman coming up in just a bit to hear what the owner and general manager have to say about all the moves that have happened over the last couple of weeks regarding the Kansas City Royals. Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by Kansas safety Kenny Logan. We'll be on the show. Also, K-State running back Deuce Vaughn will also be on the show. You guys know the rule. If your team keeps winning, we will continue to have players on from your team. We'll get to know them a little bit better. We'll do that coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. Vern will be on the show to react to what we hear from Kauffman Stadium. And always on Thursday, Sean Barber will join us in studio. We have a very jam-packed show today for you here on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio. Before we head to Kauffman Stadium, I have a good feeling of what this press conference, this media availability is going to be about. But I am going into it skeptical that John Sherman will say anything more impactful than what he said just a couple of weeks ago. Remember when the press conference happened, John Sherman was being asked questions, and he gave this quote. And this quote, to me, will define the offseason for the Kansas City Royals.
Dayton always tends to talk in terms of what a championship team looks like. And that's a great conversation, but I'd like to know what a wild card team looks like first. And I think that because if anybody knows, Kansas City Royals fans know, if you can get a wild card slot and you can get in the dance, anything can happen.
That was John Sherman just a couple of weeks ago when talking about comments from Dayton Moore. Dayton would always talk in the biggest of terms. And this organization was able to reach those heights in 2014 and 2015. Aside from that, we saw a lot of losing baseball. That comment to me is going to define this offseason. Let's head to Kauffman Stadium.
We made the announcement last night that we were moving on from Mike Matheny and Cal Eldred. Their decisions we never take lightly. There's a lot that goes into that. There's a lot of thought. There's a lot of questions that are being asked. There's evaluations that need to take place on where we are as a team, where we are as a team overall, and then also where we are with individual players and their progress in their major league career. You know, based on those evaluations, we thought the time was right to make that change, as difficult as it was. We respect those two men immensely. You know, Mike is a tremendous competitor. His preparation is outstanding. I do think the last 3 years have been challenging for a lot of reasons, you know, which matches the time that Mike was hired. You know, you got COVID in 2020, a lot of logistical things going on in 21. 22, we have the lockout. And when you add all that up, in addition to, I believe it was 29, players who transition from the minor leagues to the major leagues, that's a big job. That's a tough job. And I want to acknowledge the appreciation we have for him and how he handled it all. Never complained about a thing. came to the ballpark every day to win the game, which is really important. And I think that was one of the greatest qualities that Mike has. And we want to wish him well with what he does in the future. A lot of the same can be said for Cal Eldred. Cal was determined to help players get better, in particular pitchers. Always had a smile on his face. There's a determination that he had. Asked a lot of questions himself. And he had a deep care for these players. And he knew what he was up against. I mean, coming into this year, it wasn't easy. I mean, to start the year, we had, I believe, 3 out of 5 of our starters were not very experienced. And then as the season went on, a majority of the time, it was 4 out of our 5 starters. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into that. And we appreciate the way Cal handled everything. Both of those guys are friends of ours. They'll continue to be friends of ours. And we want to wish them the best of luck in the future. With all that said, I think, you know, from a front office perspective, this is an exciting time. I mean, this is when you make a decision like this, we're looking forward to the future. We're looking forward to what's next. We're looking forward to who can we put around our players to make our players better, to lead this organization in a way that's innovative, that's exciting, that meets the needs of players, meets the needs of our front office. And there's a lot of good people out there, and we're just looking forward to diving into it. So with that said, I'll take any questions.
Ann?
JJ, you talked about the evaluations that you went through. These last couple of weeks as you've transitioned into the lead of baseball, what did those evaluations look like, and when was the decision made to move on?
So Mike and I had a lot of great discussions the last 2 weeks. Mike understood where we were. You know, I don't want to speak for Mike, but it was very good. It was very open. It was very comforting to know that you had a person in place that understood what the game was about. And, you know, we didn't meet, you know, I'm going to try to avoid the word expectations, you know, as much as I can. But we did have some expectations. So when you look at our record at the end of the season, you know, something went wrong. You know, we should have won more games than we did. There are a lot of factors that go into that. It's not just Mike himself. There's, you know, myself, our front office. You know, we're all accountable for that. But we expected to be a little bit further along than we were. And we can't, you know, avoid that that's the case.
As you look forward now into hiring a new manager, what are the qualities that you're looking for in that person?
Well, we're working on, I'll call it criteria. We're working on the criteria right now, but we certainly need somebody that's collaborative in nature, recognizes all the departments that we have in place. Over the last 5 years, there's been a lot of efforts to expand who we are and what we're about, whether that be performance science, our research and development department that has been in place, but it continues to grow. Behavioral science is a big part of what we do. So those efforts that have been made over the last 5 years, this new manager is going to have to recognize that, appreciate it, and figure out a way to put it all into play. How do we pull it all together? And that's why it's going to take some time to find the right person.
If you look at the criteria, what are the cases that you would make for already in the organization versus new fresh voices out of the organization? I mean, do you have to think that through in your matrix of stuff?
Yeah, I think there's some organizations that clearly are driven by multiple departments, like I'm speaking of. But what we have to be careful of is we don't overlook others. There are people in every organization in baseball that are very talented. So we're going to cast a wide net and narrow it down. And as we build out what we think are the most important ingredients to being a manager for the Kansas City Royals, I couldn't tell you which organization it's going to come from. You know, that's kind of why this is in some ways exciting right now.
JJ, you guys want to hire a manager. They have to want to come here too. What's your selling point about this organization in the future?
We've got a good core here. We have work to do on our roster, but we've got a good core. I mean, if you look at our rotation, they do have a little bit of experience now. Now, how that all shakes out in the long run, I would think that there's a manager out there and a pitching coach out there that are excited when they see what our staff looks like. And then, of course, offensively, our lineup is very young. I think we started 7 guys again yesterday that were rookies. I mean, so, you know, we don't know where all their careers are going, But there's a core there that's pretty good, and I would think will be very attractive to a lot of people.
JJ, what's the current status? I mean, obviously you guys made this announcement with the pitching coach and manager. The current staff, the rest of them, what's the current status right now?
Yeah, let me start with the people definitely stay in place will be our hitting department, Alex Umwalt, Keone Duran, Mike Tozar, and Damon Hollins will remain as our first base coach. Pedro Grifol is a candidate for this job. Vance Wilson is a candidate for this job. So we'll see where that goes. And the way this is going to play out, the priority is to hire a manager first. The manager will have some influence and say in who the pitching coach is. And as you get those pieces in place, it'll determine the remainder of our staff. So that's the order of events for us.
As you've talked about, you know, obviously you don't want to overlook other organizations and where you might find somebody. What sort of, I guess, value, if any, do you place on just the familiarity with so many young guys who've just transitioned to the major leagues and there being some in-house people who have that familiarity?
It's a benefit. Quite honestly, it's a benefit I'm enjoying right now, or I'm the beneficiary of, because I know our organization well. So there's reason to look at that and consider that. Our players have a great deal of respect, really, for every one of our coaches. So I think they'd be excited if it ends up being one of our own guys. The transition may be a little bit quicker, but we're going to go through a thorough process. We're not going to jump into this and say this is our target. We don't have a main target, and I shared that with Pedro and Vance, which they appreciate. We're going to go through this process, and at the end of the day, we're going to make the best decision that we can make.
Backtracking a little bit to Mike, for you, was that more of a decision? Like, you've talked recently about your vision and how you guys are going to talk a lot about the vision going forward. Was this more of a decision based on the vision going forward or the results that you've already seen?
I think it's more on the evaluation of a reflection of the last 3 years and combined with what we want to do moving forward. Again, that's why it's hard. There are a lot of really good things that Mike does. I've had a lot of players tell me how much they like playing for him, and that's an important thing. But I think when we reflect on the last 3 years, the morale right now was low coming off of a 97 loss season. And that's why you kind of piece it all together and you got to make a decision one way or the other. And obviously we chose to go on a new venture.
JJ, what about somebody with the star power name? On somebody else's bench, like a Joe Madden, a guy who's been to World Series. Are you considering anybody who's got that type of championship experience that would excite the fan base as well as the players?
We're considering everybody. I don't want to give a number of names we have down right now, but it's lengthy. it's lengthy. You can't ignore people who've had success in the past. There's a lot to be said for that. You can't ignore information you have from other people in the game that will vouch for character, culture, those things that will continue to be important to us. You can't ignore people who didn't manage before. They all need to be considered. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing this the way we wouldn't be doing it properly if we just said, we're going after this type of guy, somebody who's managed before or somebody who hasn't managed before. So we're just going to consider them all. Names you've mentioned, they're certainly on the list. They've done it. They've done it at a high level. But then, you know, as we get down to this criteria, these four or five things we think are very important and we stick to that criteria, I don't know which side of the ball they may be on. It's going to take a while. It's going to take a while. There's a couple other positions that are open right now across baseball, so I know the time frames of those clubs may be a little bit quicker than ours, but this is going to be a good decision, and you don't make good decisions by just jumping in. So we're going to take our time. We'll be efficient, but we're going to take our time to get the right person.
Through the criteria, you've been here in this organization, if you guys have gone through other managerial changes, how different do you anticipate your criteria will be than maybe it was 3 years ago?
I think this game continues to evolve, and the things that go into making decisions at every level of our organization are very different, and every year they get a little more complex. That's why you have to surround yourself with good people to help you digest and kind of walk you through some things and make those good decisions. But I do think the managerial position has changed. You know, you talk to players around the league, you talk to other executives, you realize that there are things that teams are doing that are pretty advanced. So that's our goal, is to figure out what all of those things are and then implement it here. And I will say, I do believe we do a lot more than maybe we are giving credit for. I will say that. We just don't talk about it a whole lot. So I think whoever we end up hiring in either position is going to be pleasantly surprised at the work that all of our departments do, and they'll be very happy and comfortable getting in that seat.
Recognizing that giving one example doesn't encompass it all, do you have an example when you mentioned?
And that is the press conference out at Kauffman Stadium, J.J. Piccolo, as the Royals have let go of manager Mike Matheny, also in the market for a new pitching coach. If they say anything interesting, which I highly doubt, we will play it for you at some point over the course of the show. This is my read on the situation, Robin. You tell me if you think I'm off here. This feels a lot like a college football coach that now gets the opportunity to pick his quarterback. If you pick the right quarterback, you get an extension and you can have that job for a long time. If you get the wrong quarterback, you do not get the ability to pick another one. You're gone. Feels a little bit like Eli Drinkwitz. All the eggs are put into the basket of Sam Horn, Missouri's top quarterback recruit. If he gets that right, Eli Drinkwitz will get to keep that job. If he gets it wrong, he will get fired. Is that not what it feels like right now with J.J. Piccolo? J.J. Piccolo was able to get through round one of the Royals' purge. They got rid of everybody. Hitting coach, gone. Pitching coach, gone. President, board of presidents, gone in this situation. They're keeping him and a small select group of people. They're going to let you pick the manager. I believe that the next managerial decision will be his. I don't think it's coming from Sherman. I don't think it's coming from any of the investors. I think it will be J.J. Piccolo's first solo decision as the general manager of the Kansas City Royals. If he gets it wrong, he will not get the ability to pick another manager. He'll be gone. John Sherman will see to it that he does not ever get to make that decision again. It's now J.J. Piccolo's team. There was a question on whose team it was between Dayton Moore and J.J. Piccolo. Who was the one in charge? Who had the power? Who had the loudest voice in the room? There is no longer a question of it. J.J. Piccolo was going to be the one that answers. J.J. Piccolo was going to be the one that, if this team has success or failure, you will be able to pin it on one person, and that's him. He's on the clock. In some ways, he's been able to pass just a little bit, and any problem, Dayton was the one that had to answer for it. But that shield just doesn't exist anymore. You got the juice now. You're the man. Any major trade, any free agent move that's happened, any major decision that happens, there's going to be one singular voice that comes from, and that's J.J. Piccolo. We saw that power transfer a couple of weeks ago when they made that decision to Dayton Moore, but the fact that J.J. Piccolo had this press conference, he's in charge of it, they got a lengthy list, you better make the right decision because you will not get the ability to make this decision again. They're going to fire you if you fail.
I liked your college football analogy, and I liked your Sam Horn one. To me, it's more athletic director picking a coach. How often in sports do we say with college sports, you know, so-and-so's been okay, but that's not the AD that hired him, so he's going to get run out of town. A lot of people said that with Konzo Martin when they let Jim Stirk resign. Uh-oh, he's not great, and it's a new AD. Watch out. I think that's what happened with Dayton Moore and Mike Matheny. Dayton Moore's out. Mike Matheny got put on hot seat. See you later. But now it's a new AD. Now it's a new GM. Now it's his decision to make all the power. He has all the go. And there is no, well, I inherited this guy, da-da-da. He is making the decision. And if the Royals are bad next year, I'm not talking meddling. I'm talking bad. all the arrows, all the anger, all the ire that Dayton took last year is coming right for JJ. So he better nail this hire. And I'm of the belief that managerial hires are meh in baseball. I don't think they have a huge impact. But if it's bad, if it's Trey Hillman, if it's Buddy Bell, JJ Piccolo is going to be on the hot seat fast.
It does feel like he starts on the hot seat. That's what it feels like. It feels to me like he is starting from a little bit of a deficit, and he's going to need to hand something over really, really quick. I don't know if 1 year's accurate enough. They're going to give the manager a little bit of time. They're not firing the manager next year, regardless of who they hire. So JJ probably has 2 years. You've got 2 years, and you need to hand us some level of results is what you need to do. The top text right now says this is a lot of fluff. I understand skepticism with the Kansas City Royals. The Royals haven't really done anything over the last 7 or 8 years that would warrant your level of optimism. But I will say this in defense of the Royals. This is different. Do you know how the Royals are operating? Like Walmart. They were operating like a mom and pop store. Oh, you don't got enough money? Eh, just come back tomorrow. I know your mom. You're good for it. Nah, we operating like a business. You're not going in there and haggling prices at Target. The price is the price. The Royals were operating like a small mom and pop store. Everybody knows each other. It's friendly. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We want to go over to Chris Young, even though he has a 6 ERA, and talk to him and make sure. Nah. The Royals are operating cutthroat right now. Right when the season's over, you're gone. They fired Dayton Moore in front of everybody. They could have let Dayton Moore go out with a measure of grace. You notice Dayton Moore hasn't done any interviews. I don't think that's a coincidence. I don't think he can do interviews. You know Dayton loves to talk. Dayton would have been on Fesco in the morning 3 hours after getting fired. You notice Dayton ain't said nothing, and they've made all their statements by their actions. So I understand skepticism around the Kansas City Royals. And I don't think that the Royals have really earned our optimism. The Chiefs have earned it. K-State football has earned it. Kansas basketball has earned it. They have a track record built up over time that if they say something, you can take it to the bank. The Royals got to prove it to you. But I do think we have to acknowledge how the Royals are operating is far more businesslike. And the Royals, to me, are making steps in trying to be good. We can debate on why they're trying to do this. I think a lot of it is motivation for a new stadium. It's going to be hard to sell you a new stadium with what they've been doing for the last 7, 8 years or so. I don't care why you're trying to be good. Be good. You guys know the rules. Anytime we start the show with the Royals, that can only mean one thing. Take it away, Rob.
We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
Carrington, I don't know if you've seen on the internet, but the current betting favorite to be the next manager of the Kansas City Royals is former Kansas City Royal Carlos Beltran. So today's random lineup is his first full game with the Kansas City Royals, which was in September of 1998.
I love the energy. Let's do it.
Leading off in right field, Johnny Damon. Batting second in center field, the aforementioned Carlos Beltran.
Love Carlos Beltran.
Batting
future
third.
Future Hall of Famer.
Noted cheater. Also future Hall of Famer.
No, relax.
Both
okay.
Can be true.
Relax.
He definitely was banging on trash cans. That happened. Batting third at second base, Jose Offerman. Batting fourth, the DH, Dean Palmer.
Dean Palmer definitely had a nice 1-for-3 day with a ribby.
Exactly what he had. And a walk. Nice job, Dean.
How did I know?
Batting fifth at first base, Jeff King.
Jeff King was definitely 0-for-2 with two strikeouts.
Nah, he had a hit with two ribbies. Nice day for old Jeff.
Two ribbies. Get you a ribeye.
Batting sixth in left field, Jeff Conine. That's right before Conine goes to the Marlins. What a time. Batting seventh at third base, Scott Lewis.
Yo, I ain't never heard of Scott Lewis a day in my life.
His name is spelled L-E-I-U-S, Lewis. Traditional spelling. Batting eighth, the catcher, Tim Spear.
We're at the point now. It explains why the Royals were bad this season.
And batting ninth, the shortstop, Mindy Lopez.
Hey, of, opening day fame, Mindy Lopez.
Leading up, the starting pitcher that day for the Royals was Pat Rapp. Stunningly, Who? They won despite Pat Rapp going to the hill.
Who?
Exactly.
Who? Pat Rapp.
Beltran had a triple in his debut.
Of course he did. Carlos Beltran's still one of the smoothest baseball players I've ever seen. Some guys just play the game a little bit differently. They just got a different bounce to them. They just glide a little bit differently. That was Carlos Beltran. He was the greatest. Big Carlos Beltran guy. I'd love for Carlos Beltran to be the manager of the Kansas City Royals. That'd be a real full circle moment for all of us.
That'd be a press conference I'd be willing to take live. Someone's going to ask him about trash cans. It'd be fun.
I'm going to always be anti-press conference. I'm going to always be anti. Unless they're hiring or firing somebody or someone's quitting, I'm typically going to be on the no. I'm typically going to be on the, I don't want to take this, but I got a boss too, you know? All right, coming up on the other side, let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs and Mahomes and Kelce, and the offense gets all the credit. But we should be talking way more about this defense. That's coming up. Keep right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive. Catch insider Nate Taylor with Cody and Gold every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
From downtown Kansas City, it's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
I want to share a stat with you guys really quickly. This stat is about the Chiefs defense. And the Chiefs offense gets a lot of love, as it should. The best player in the league is on the Chiefs offense. One of the greatest tight ends, if not the greatest tight end in the history of the league, is on the offense. Andy Reid is an offensive-minded head coach. They traded Tyreek Hill, and that certainly was a point of conversation. It came up almost every single offensive play on Sunday Night Football. But listen to this. In the last 24 games, the Chiefs have 15 drives where their defense has either forced a 3-and-out or a turnover. 15 of their last 24 first possessions of the game. An incredibly high amount, which then gets your team off to a really good start. I thought that this defense was going to take a little bit of time to kind of gel together, especially with the young secondary. I am here telling you that I was wrong. What has made it even more impressive is they have done this offensively without Trent McDuffie, their top draft pick, and Rob, they have also gotten more of a contribution from George Karlaftis than I thought they were going to get this early on in his career. He, to me, is playing like a guy that the box score doesn't tell the full story. And sometimes a defensive player will sort of pop off the screen and really stand out. And I think George Karlaftis has made a play defensively in every single game that they've had so far this season where you notice him. We talk a lot about a guy who has a high motor. The motor on George Karlaftis, I think, has been fairly noticeable and obvious. The young secondary has really stepped up. Jalen Watson was the guy that was a seventh-round pick. We have not mentioned Joshua Williams. There's no reason to mention him because Jalen Watson took his spot. Jalen Watson has played like a legitimate number two, number three corner, a guy that you feel comfortable putting in spots up against veteran wide receivers. This defense has played incredibly well. You got to give this defense a lot of credit for last week against Tampa Bay, forcing them to be one-dimensional. I didn't have this stat until we got it from Mitch Holtis. Tampa Bay ran 27 consecutive passing plays. You're not beating the Chiefs doing that. Not with the way that I think this secondary is playing. Not with the offensive line that Tampa Bay has and you're able to get pressure as Chris Jones played really well on Sunday night. This defense is playing really well. And I understand that they'll always be overshadowed by the offense and the names that the Chiefs have on the offense. And the Chiefs defense doesn't have that quote-unquote star power. But their defense has played really well and I think should be pointed out. I also want to point this out. Rob, have you noticed they don't have Willie Gay Jr.? Has it been a talking point? I'm not saying they can't use Willie Gay Jr., but sometimes the worst thing that can happen to you is you miss a few days and people can't tell that you're gone. You out for a couple of weeks with an injury, your backup steps in and plays really well, and it is not noticeable that you are not on the field. They held Tampa Bay to 3 yards rushing. Tampa Bay ran it 6 times. They couldn't get it going and didn't even want to try to get it going on the ground because of how the Chiefs defense were playing. They also were down for most of the day, so they're playing from behind, so you can't really dictate it. But that game, it wasn't completely out of reach the entire way. They got down early 7-0. And they became incredibly one-dimensional the entire game, which I think plays exactly into what this defense does really well.
What's the buzzword all coaches and former players and Sean Barber will be on later to talk about? Complementary football? The Chiefs are doing that because their defense is fantastic. Their offense is getting plus field position and not having to go 75, 80 yards, which you could then highlight the fact they don't have a secondary dog at pass catcher. You know why? The defense getting the opponent off the field and they're having short fields. Outside of one bad drive, one real bad drive against the Colts, you could argue the Chiefs defense has been the best thing the Chiefs have going for this year. We get our jokes off about Arizona, they really loud offseason, excuse me. Chiefs defense shut down the air raid. Chiefs defense did a very good job against Justin Herbert and co. back when he was super healthy. Outside that one drive against Indianapolis, they did a good job against Matt Ryan's crypt keeper body. They did a really good job against Tom Brady's avocado ice cream body. The defense is the highlight of the team, and in a way, the fact Mahomes takes all the shine is a good thing for this defense because they're staying hungry.
Let me ask you this question, and this was related to the defense here. So earlier today, our guy Matt Verderame, fan-sided, who's plugged in with the organization, tweeted out that Trent McDuffie is expected to be back next week. So we know Trent McDuffie was at practice. He is practicing. I trust the reporting of Verderame and also knowing how the Chiefs handle these situations. McDuffie will practice this week, be inactive, not play this week, and then next week against Buffalo, it's going to be an all-hands-on-deck kind of situation. They'll bring Trent McDuffie back, certainly going up against that passing attack of the Buffalo Bills. When McDuffie comes back, who do you think is the odd man out? Because I think the odd man out in this is pretty obvious. We know it's not Snead. McDuffie, if healthy, is going to be on the field. He's going to get his snaps and his opportunity. I don't know how you take Jalen Watson out of the starting lineup right now. If you're asking me right now who are their three best corners, I'll say a little bit sight unseen on Trent McDuffie because we don't have a lot of data points on McDuffie. But given where they drafted him, given the resources they pumped into him, McDuffie, Snead, and I think their third best corner is Jalen Watson. I think the odd man out in this scenario is Rashad Fenton. I think Fenton is the guy that is your fourth depth guy. I think he'll see the field, but I think he has been passed up on the depth chart by Jalen Watson. I'd put him ahead of him.
Which leads us to a thing we talked about all offseason. Rashad Fenton was coming up in a contract year. Currently on the Chiefs, I know Therese said it, contract year's undefeated. The current version of the Chiefs have a couple people who have been defeated by the contract year. Rashad Fenton was a PFF darling last year and had surgery in the offseason and has played solid this year, but not great. He's now the odd man out. And being the odd man out in a contract year, you know what that means? It's probably the odd man out on your Chiefs tenure. And you talked earlier about how we haven't heard really from Joshua Williams, and there's no reason to. I think the Chiefs have prepared for life after Rashad Fenton. I think the Chiefs are ready for him to be the odd man out. Not that he's not talented or they don't want him on the field. The Chiefs are now playing with the idea in 3 and 4 years down the road with draft picks. And Rashad Fenton, your time has been very welcomed here. But it's time to go at the end of the season because we have Watson, we have Snead, and we have a bevy of other guys like McDuffie and Williams. Goodbye now. You were great as a 6th-round pick. Get paid. Charvarius Ward style.
I just trust the Chiefs' ability to create another Rashad Fenton. For a guy who was a 6th-round pick, for them to get the production that they got out of him is a real testament to their player development and their scouting. There's a lot of misses in that 6th-round and corner, and the Chiefs just repeatedly are able to churn out a productive player. They've done so again with Jalen Watson. But based on what we've seen so far, I just don't know now how you can look any differently outside of Rashad Fenton being the odd man out once everybody is back. Next week when they're playing Buffalo, a team that is 4 or 5 deep at wide receiver and has one of the 5 best quarterbacks in the National Football League, you want to have your best guys going up against their best guys. And I think at this point, Jalen Watson is one of their best guys. All right, coming up on the other side, I want to play for you guys some audio related to one of the most disappointing teams in football this season. I'll tell you who. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Drive, your spot to hear friend of the show, Andy Reid.
Call me anything you want. Call a lot of worse things than that right there now.
On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Download the Odyssey app and listen to The Drive with Carrington wherever you are.
There's a handful of very disappointing teams in football. Indianapolis is on that list. The Denver Broncos are on that list. The Las Vegas Raiders, I think, would also be on this list. But I'm not sure if there's any team that has been more disappointing than Texas A&M. Now, Texas A&M had the number one recruiting class, and you remember Jimbo Fisher was doing all that yapping in the offseason. And oh, they had a big game October 8th, prime time CBS night game against Alabama. Well, they're 3-2 right now. They're unranked. And they are 21-point dogs to Alabama, who might not have their starting quarterback who won the Heisman Trophy last year. So as you would imagine, fans down at College Station are not very happy with how things are going. this was a call into the Paul Feinbaum show.
Secondly, as far as Jimbo's contract, that $90 million contract, a hitman cost a lot less than that. Thank you, and have a great day, Paul.
Things are not going well in College Station. Not going well at all.
The thank you is my best part. Let me just quietly threaten this man's life. Thanks, Paul. Good talk.
I don't think he threatened his life. I think he was letting you know it's $90 million to get rid of him. It's not $90 million for this other thing. That's what I think he was saying. It just lets you know how things are going right now at A&M. They're not going good. We don't have to spend a whole lot of time talking about Texas A&M because why would we spend a lot of time talking about Texas A&M? But I am so confused at why Texas A&M thought that this season was going to be any different than the way that it's actually turned out. Can I read to you how the last few seasons have gone for them? 4 wins, 8 wins, 4 wins, 5 wins, four in the SEC. I mean, we know what they are. 8 wins in 2021, 9 wins in 2020, 8 wins. They're an 8-win program. They'll probably win 8 games. They think that they're a 10-11-win program, and that's just that's not what they are. I get it. You gave Jimbo Fisher all that money, and you expect them to take a step forward, but let's not forget, you are, in fact, still Texas A&M. Keeping it with coaches, this is from Mike Vernon, who Mike Vernon, I think, has proved that he is very plugged in with somebody in the know at Kansas. Now, he ain't shooting 100% from the field. He's shooting like 85%, though. He clearly knows somebody who is in these meetings that KU has, and this person then gives him the information. So he just put this out. KU and Lance Leipold are negotiating a new deal. This, in all caps, does not mean they will agree, but it means KU is trying. Lance's priority is name, image, and likeness above all else. Also, stadium assistant money, and also upgrades to the Anderson complex. Tomorrow, Kansas announces that they have a major announcement. I think it's either going to be stadium or facility improvements. I don't think it will be announcing an extension for Lance Leipold, because if you're Lance Leipold, why in the world would you agree to a contract in the middle of the season? Kansas could win 9 games. The amount of money that you could get right now, it might be an extra $500,000, $600,000 here in another month or two if you let this thing play out. So there's no reason for Lance Leipold to agree to anything as of this moment. It makes a lot of sense why that would be Lance Leipold's priority. Let's be real. It's still Kansas football. If I'm a top flight football player, do I want to go to a school that will make it very difficult for me to be the big man on campus? Now, you know this a little bit more than me, Rob. If we had to rank all the college athletes, where do you think Jalen Daniels ranks?
Current Kansas?
Currently at Kansas.
He's probably in the top 10, probably four, five, six.
He is the quarterback of the team.
Undefeated.
You think he has a chance to be invited to the Heisman ceremony?
Wouldn't shock me.
And we are arguing if he is a top 10 player right now on their campus. Kansas is one of the few places that that's the case. If Jalen Daniels was at Missouri, he'd be by far and away the most popular person. It's Kansas. They won the national championship in basketball last year. They have Allen Fieldhouse. It's just a little bit different. So you know what you're going to need to continue to compete at this level? Name, image, and likeness money. Where if I'm a kid and I know I'm not going to be the big man on campus, how else do you attract me there? Well, obviously winning gets me to want to go in places, and you know how these things are. It is all momentum-based, and Kansas is certainly building momentum. But you better make sure that you got the backing. So it's not just Lance needs his money. And believe me, Lance is going to ask for his $4.5 million, $5 million, and he will get real close. But it's also, I need a salary cap. You guys want to keep this winning up, right? You guys see the stands out there? We've sold out 3 home games already. That doesn't count Oklahoma State. We're going to continue to sell these games out. Game day is here because of me. Now we need a salary cap. You want to keep Jalen Daniels? You want to keep Devin Neal? You want to keep these? You want to get more of them? We need more money. So that makes a lot of sense to me. You're taking care of your assistants. Every head coach is always trying to get a bigger pool for their assistants and the guys that have been there before. Kansas is doing so far exactly what they're supposed to be doing from an off-the-field standpoint, not even talking about the football. Kansas has handled this football season as well as you can handle it. Kansas went into it probably expecting to win four games. They're getting sellouts now. They're getting ticket requests and media requests that they haven't had in 15 years since 07. They've shown an ability to adjust on the fly, and you need to be having these Lance Leipold conversations now and not at the end of November. It could be too late at the end of November to be having these conversations. You need to be having them now. I give Kansas a lot of credit for this.
It's kind of deep, nerdcore, super sportsy, but for a while now, I've thought to myself, Travis Goff's doing a really good job at Kansas. And suddenly, as more and more good things happen to Kansas, it becomes a little less nerdcore, deep sports conversation to have. Since he's shown up as the new AD, a KU alum, which is what every fan base wants. They want an alum and AD because he understands the programs better than anyone. They got Bill Self a lifetime contract. He's now tied to the university forever, which basically crushes NBA dreams and the Oklahoma State fears, gone forever. They then won a national title. They hired Lance Leipold. And now, being ahead of schedule of football, Travis Goff, at least according to Mike Vernon, who you're right, doesn't bat 1,000, but he bats probably in the 70% range. They've at least begun conversations. Travis Goff hears the same things we do. Travis Goff reads the same message boards. Travis Goff reads Bruce Feldman the same way we do. You know what he's noticing? His guy's name keeps coming up a lot. Do you know how to make his guy's name go away? You give a lot of money to your guy. And the fact that in week 6 of year 2, Travis Goff said, no, I'm not waiting. No, I'm not letting more things happen. No, I don't want more sample size. It's time to really help out and keep this train rolling. That is forward thinking and visionary thinking from an AD, which is what every fan base wants. And as a KU fan and a person that goes to KU games, both basketball and football, I applaud Travis Goff for being ahead of the curve.
Now, there are also some more notes from Mike Vernon that I find pretty interesting. So Nebraska's athletic director is Trev Alberts. You remember Trev Alberts was at ESPN. So according to Mike Vernon, he says that Alberts, who was a commentator at ESPN, was publicly on board with Nebraska letting Frank Solich go. Frank Solich is Lance's guy. Also notes that Trev Alberts was at Nebraska Omaha when Nebraska Omaha decided to scrap the football program. So maybe I've had this thing pegged wrong this entire time. Now, I still think that Nebraska is a upgrade over where he is at Kansas. But maybe the job, Rob, that you should be most worried about is not Nebraska, it's Wisconsin. If you're Lance Leipold and you have the choice between Wisconsin and Nebraska, you are taking the Wisconsin job. I also think that Nebraska is going to want to make a much bigger splash than Lance Leipold, even with how this season is going. Like, I could see Nebraska waiting to see what happens with Carolina and trying to get Matt Rhule. And that being there, hey, look, we're back, former NFL coach. Look, he did really well at Baylor. He's got ties in Texas. That's the guy that we want to get. I think Nebraska is going to try to make a bigger, sexier splash and try to get that name over Lance Leipold. But some interesting stuff here from Mike Vernon, who I think is pretty plugged in with Kansas. I want Lance Leipold to stay at Kansas. I like that Kansas is good and viable. I like the fact that we can talk about college football on this show. Coming up on the other side, we'll head to Kauffman Stadium to be joined by Josh Vernier. Vern is going to have a lot of free time. We're not having Josh Vernier. We moved Josh Vernier. My bad. I apologize. I thought we were having him at 3 o'clock. You're telling me now it's at 4 o'clock. We're not having Vern. You know what? Even though I teased it, we're still going to talk about the Royals next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.